So here we are, like two guys, law-abiding men, doing things our wife asks us to do, right?
Some of our friends used to beatbox, so we'd spit rhymes, you know, as they say. I feel like even beyond that, our phones are already listening to us. Big Brother's watching that.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Selamat datang di podcast Bosan di Jalan episode ke-83. Direkam pada hari Selasa yang cerah. Jadi gue ucapin selamat pagi buat kalian semua. Kecuali kalian-kalian yang instastories-nya pake background. Tinititin, 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 tinititin. Itu lagu apa sih, sumpah? Apa itu? Kok kayaknya sangat familiar gitu. Cuma gue gak bisa pinpoint itu lagu apa gitu. Setiap ada lagu itu yang gue bayangin cuma masak-masak dan aroma masakan khas Indonesia. Akhirnya yang dengerin gue kayak, gue pikir lo sukanya komedi yang cerdas, Rom. Ternyata konten Instastories kayak gitu aja lo ketawa. Ya iyalah ketawa, itu orang lucu gitu. Sejak kapan komedi itu harus cerdas gitu? Komedi itu lucu kan? Hari ini gue seneng banget karena obrolan hari ini gue ditemenin sama Leo, all the way from New York City. Dia adalah seorang rapper yang juga seorang ya mahasiswa kedokteran, bisa dibilang di sana. Dia baru aja ngerilis single terbarunya, judulnya Make It Through. Kita ngobrol dikit tentang itu dan obrolannya sebenarnya cukup panjang tapi akhirnya gue potong untuk beberapa part karena gue sudah belajar dari Bapak Deddy Corbusier konten itu kalau panjang mending dipotong-potong karena kita nggak akan pernah tahu kapan kita akan stuck dan kita butuh konten gitu ya. Dan yang bikin gue seneng lagi adalah ini pertama kalinya gue rekaman dan ngobrol pakai bahasa Inggris. Karena doi bukan orang Indo ya. Jadi kita lihat aja ya. Apakah bahasa Inggris gue bakal dicerca netizen gitu. Karena anak-anak Jaksel pasti akan mengkritik how I speak English. Because that is not the correct grammar. Ya. Lo tuh less dimana sih kok grammar lo kok jelek gitu. I don't know. Lu tau bahasa Inggris cowboy gak sih? Kayak ya udah lu tembak aja gitu. gak ada grammar, gak ada tata bahasa. Yang penting orang ngerti lah sama lu gitu. Kayak itu bahasa kayak apa sih? Kayak gue gak tau. Ya jadi bakal ada beberapa episode sama Leo. Kita obrolannya macam-macam ya. Bahkan sampai ngalor ngidul. Teori konspirasi dan hal-hal gak jelas lainnya. Tapi cukup seru. Karena memang ternyata asiknya podcast ngobrol tuh kayak gini ya, berasa memang punya teman gitu. Kalau ngoceh sendiri kan lu berasa kayak fucking loner gitu ya, yang nggak punya teman. Dan setidaknya di 1 jam dan 2 jam kebersamaan gue bersama narasumber, gue merasa punya teman di situ. Anyway, kalau kalian suka sama episode hari ini, let me know di Twitter atau DM gue atau email gue di podcastbosandijalan@gmail.com. Sekali lagi di podcastbosandijalan@gmail.com. So enjoy this one.
Hey Leo, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ram.
Good to have you here. It's gonna be a bit weird because this will be the first time I'll be doing this in English. And since this is not my native language, so let's roll the dice and see what happens, right?
But, no problem.
All right. So we actually met each other a few years back, right? My wife and I traveled to New York to see her friends, and we met for like a few days, but it was very brief, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was like 2 years ago, was it? Yeah.
I think it's about 2 years ago, right? So we met.
So here we are, like two guys, law-abiding men, doing things our wife asks us to do, right? Because you know, we won't be here if our wife won't be nagging, like, do a podcast with Leo, right? Do a podcast with Leon. Yeah, I'm pretty sure on your side, like, do the podcast with Ram, right?
I'm here. I'm excited, you know?
Yeah. But I'm excited because I didn't realize that you created some music. You know, I'm really interested to talk about that later on. But before we get there, so tell me like what you're doing right now.
Oh, so I'm currently a student, student doctor of physical therapy right now. I'm in my, about to hit my last year. So basically, luckily, our semester is over, so we're kind of on a break. But during this break, we have to do like clinical rotations, which are like internships, you know, but not paid, that the school provides us. And I'll be actually starting again this Monday, about two more days. I'll be going back into the field to help treat patients who have like injuries, you know, and it can range from many types of injuries, from like ankle injuries or just shoulder injuries, to even like someone who had a stroke or has some sort of like neurological disease. But other than that, that's the only thing I'm really looking forward to. In the meantime, you know, New York has kind of been quiet, but we're starting to what's called reopen because of the lockdown and the quarantine. So things are starting to picking up again, and we're kind of heading back to normalcy.
I get the physical therapy part of it, but when you say like student doctor, right? Are you talking about like medical school, or is that like you've done medical school and you've carried on to? I know, you mentioned internship, right? I mean, my medical knowledge is only based on a few inaccurate TV shows, right? Like Scrubs. So yeah. All I know is just internship, residency, and then you ended up being like an actual doctor or something. So how does that? It actually work in real life, like where does that student doctor like?
Yeah, so a student doctor can be anyone who is basically in school pursuing the title doctor before their name. And the thing is, someone like a medical doctor is a doctor of medicine. They're the ones who can help prescribe medicine to, you know, people. It's like what you usually go for, like when you go for a checkup, that's a medical doctor. But then they have like doctors for other fields, such as like physical therapy. You know, like we specialize in movement and certain types of injuries. So let's say you have, you know, shoulder and neck pain, for example. You would go to your doctor and tell your doctor, you know, I have shoulder and neck pain. But, you know, the doctor can prescribe you like some sort of medicine, some sort of pain reliever to just help treat the pain. But then they would refer you to a specialist, which is the physical therapist. So we specialize in certain types of injuries and what's called rehabilitation to help help people get back pain free.
Is this the same thing? Like when you say physical therapy and physiotherapy, is that the same thing? Or
in America, they call it physical therapy, but I believe in places like in Asia and Europe, they call it a physiotherapist, but it's pretty much the same.
I know the term physiotherapy from football because I do watch a lot of football, British football. You know, not American football.
Yeah, right? Soccer.
You call it soccer. I mean, like.
Yeah, I know. But, I know.
But you know, we have because in football you have like physios and all that, and you know I play a lot of those games as well. So I do realize that these type of like profession are needed in sports, right? So is that like the type of career trajectory that you're hoping to, like, maybe you want to be part of like a sports team, to be part of their physio team, or are you more onto the kind of a general medical path where you practice on like clinics and stuff?
So at first, you know, like myself and like a bunch of my other classmates, most likely heavily favored sports physical therapy, because that's kind of like big name, you know, and it's sounds like such a great gig. But then as like we get into our coursework and learning from our professors about going into the sports physical therapy, we find out that it's a little actually harder to get into, you know, it's a very specific field, especially when you deal with big name sport teams. It's not that easy to get into. But throughout my coursework as well, I kind of found more of a passion in, like what you said, like the general medical type of field. Like I am more interested in working in the hospital, basically helping people who had like a stroke or some sort of brain injury or spinal cord injury, you know, trying to get them to walk again or teaching them how to go up the stairs again. You'd be surprised, like, seeing how hard it is, you know. Like, I'm sure you've probably even seen some older people in your lives who have trouble going up the stairs or even start losing balance when they start walking. And like, that's what physical therapists are for, you know, to help restore those type of cases.
Very interesting. And, you know, what's interesting is that what you're doing, what you're studying right now, you know, it seems very complicated from people from the outside, like from my, like myself. And, you know, what's even more interesting is that the fact that whilst you're trying to complete this study, you're also creating music, right? I was told that, you know, you released some music on Spotify, and I had to listen to it. So I really enjoy the music, by the way. So, you know, the song is called Make It Through. So tell me, like, how you ended up from studying for physical therapy and you ended up making music and releasing it?
Yeah, so it's like even before beginning my studies in physical therapy, making music was kind of always what I've been doing. Whether it be for like certain parties, like I had like bands, I used to play guitar back in the day and I used to do that. But then like, as I got a little older, I got more interested into like hip hop and rap kind of music with my friends. And something what we always do is when we used to go out to like party and hang out, you know, we would always freestyle, or what they call create a cipher. You know, it'd be like a bunch of guys and girls in like a circle, you know, and we kind of share this imaginary mic where you're coming up with a freestyle and you pass it along. The next person picks it up and then comes up with a few raps. And usually there'll be like a beat in the background. Some of our friends used to beatbox, so we'd spit rhymes, you know, as they say, right, to the beatbox. But other than that, like how it came about making Make It Through, it was kind of out of quarantine boredom, to be honest. You know, a lot of us were stuck in lockdown at home. We weren't allowed to go outside for maybe like 2 months. And, you know, everyone started getting bored. And, you know, I'm sure you've probably seen everyone just started releasing the creativity. You know, like from what I've seen from my friends in Indonesia, they started doing a lot of home business, you know, making food. I mean, I'd go on Instagram and everyone was just making food and like doing a home business, selling foods and whatnot. But I just thought the right path for me is just to make music. You know, my friend who's actually Indonesian as well is a producer, and he makes beats. So I heard one of his beats and I told him, like, hey, you know, I wrote some raps to it. Let's record. And next thing you know, we were in his studio and we were just recording the song. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it on Spotify. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
And I went from there and a lot of people liked it, thank goodness. And from here on, like, I'm still in the works of creating more music during my free time. You know, it'll be released soon, so keep an eye on that.
Right, I like that. I like how this quarantine period does spark a lot of creativity, right? I know a few guys as well who started releasing music because of quarantine, because of like COVID, right? And So, and I guess like I'm interested on like when you said you just released it to Spotify just like that, right? Because you feel like it. So it's not hard to release music to this like streaming platform, right? You don't actually have to have a label, right? Is it just as simple as like you upload things on the internet?
You do have a label, but honestly, I still don't really know how it works. Like, there's a website that I use called distrokid.com, and basically they have different, you know, plans and options that you can use where you just pay. I pay like $20 a year. I don't know how much that is in rupiah, but $20 a year, and which is not too bad. And I can keep my song on Spotify, you know, and basically I'm able to get 100% royalty from whatever money I can make off Spotify. But it wasn't that hard. I just simply Googled, you know, like how to put music on Spotify. And then I found out how you did it. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
See, I like that mentality, right? So you want to put music on Spotify, you Google it, right? Like, I'm pretty sure some people wouldn't know how to Google it because they would be asking around, like, how do you put
music on Spotify? It's pretty tough, you know? Like, you have to make sure that any of your work is not, like, already made up, you know? Like, it's...
Right.
You basically own this and you copyright it, and you got to make sure you're not stealing anyone else's work. So like, we started off with the beat by my friend who made the beat, you know. Luckily he made it and he didn't sample, like take a piece of the beat from another beat, but he made this purely from scratch on his own. So that's his work. And then same with my lyrics. It was 100% my lyrics, you know. I didn't have anyone else write for it or anything, so... That's the problem. Like, some people think it's easy to just put music up and get paid for it. And then next thing you know, you realize you're getting sued for stealing someone else's work. And
yeah, exactly.
Bummer.
I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned about sampling, right? Because that's always been like the conversation when it comes to copyright and, you know, creative rights. Because, you know, artists samples other artists. That is the norm, right? Where is that line where, you know, sampling is okay and then, or you're actually taking too much from this artist? So is that like an actual thing?
I don't know too much of the specifics, actually, because, you know, maybe I will one day when I get on the radio. But from what I've heard and from other people, it's these artists would pay for like some of the samples, you know? They pay for it. Yeah. And how it works is sometimes it could be a one-time fee. Or sometimes it could be like, you pay me every time your song is streamed 100,000 times, or like, you know, 750,000 times. So there's a limit to it. Is it like an unlimited lease, or is it just, you know, you pay for the sample for a little bit? Or, you know, they make contracts in certain ways where like, instead of paying me a one-time payment, it could be like, I'll take a 1% royalty of, you know, every time the song gets played. Something like that. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just different ways of...
It's quite interesting, actually, because I never knew that's how it works, you know, like... I guess it makes sense, right? Because if you want to sample someone's work, you at least have to contact them and say like, hey, can I sample your music, right? Because I mean, it's so obvious now that you explain it, because like, I'm so used to being in a place where everyone just takes everyone's work without asking, right? So,
this thing, I don't know how it is in Indonesia, but like here in America, we're like the number one country for suing. You know, people will sue you for anything just to make money. Like, not to really make my country sound so bad, but, you know, it's true.
No, it's not bad. Like, because otherwise you won't have all this, like, lawyers, TV shows that everyone
wants to watch. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, like, I got a hook on some of it, like suits and all that. Like, you know, it's all about suits.
I love suits. Right?
So, yeah.
I love
suits. Sad it was ended, though.
Yeah, I know.
Too bad that girl had to get married, right?
Meghan Markle.
Yeah. I was gonna say the name. Like, I was scared like they're gonna sue us.
Nah, we gonna laugh at that.
Oh yeah, that's the interesting part, right? You guys sue each other for like, you know, work, businesses and stuff, but you rarely sue each other because of, you know, you make fun of each other, you know. But the opposite happens here, right? We don't sue because of our work. We sue just because like, well, someone make fun of me, so I'm gonna sue them for defamation.
That's
or like,
you can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's for legal. Defamation, right?
Yeah, it's part of the law, like defamation law. So it doesn't matter. Like you could just say you talk to your friend, right? Someone you know, right? And then you say like, hey, Baldy, like for example, right? Because he's bald, right? He might be okay with it, right? But then someone might hear it and it's like, hey, I don't like how you say Baldy to him, so I'm gonna sue him on behalf of the bald guys. That's how messed up it can get. So that's why like people don't really
actually read the cases.
Yeah. This happens a lot, right? I mean, we had a few major cases back in like a few years back. Just people suing each other on behalf of other people. I mean, you know, if you get offended personally and you want to sue, like, sure, it is your right, right? But when you try to sue on behalf of other people, I don't know. I still kind of get weird out every now and again. So,
no, I mean, I'd just stay quiet if I was in.
Yeah, exactly. That is why, you know, most of the time we just stay quiet. We talk shit behind our backs, close doors, and make sure like all the microphones are off, you know, because we never know if, you know, your Alexa might be sending data to the government.
Well, that's kind of scary though, right? I mean, how like AI can pick up.
Yeah, I mean, I have a smart TV, right? But and every time I walk past it, I was like, are you monitoring me?
And you like talk to the TV to command?
Yeah, yeah. Because some of them, they have it in the remotes, right? So you can just say like what you want to watch on the remote and just give it to you. And at first I was like, you know, this is great. You know, this is so easy to use. And then now coming into it with all the things that are happening over here, like, yeah, you start thinking like, how much like technology do I need? Like, I mean, I can just type, right? I don't need this voice command to do everything. Like, come on, at least I'm safe from the monitoring world, you know? From Big Brother and all that.
That's true. Big Brother's watching.
Like, Big Brother's watching, right? So like, you know, you have to realize that. I mean, like, some people are getting like smart fridges. I'm like, why do you need like smart fridges? Like, how lonely do you have to be that you need to talk to your fridge, right?
That's true. I mean, you know, like, I feel like as society, over time, like, we started to rely on technology so much, you know, and it's kind of sad. Like, yeah, it might be nice, but, you know, like a smart fridge, like, I saw one where you can watch YouTube on the fridge. And
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, like, I don't see the purpose of it for me personally, but maybe for some other people who like are watching a cooking show or something and like they're learning how to make a certain type of food and they're in the kitchen. I guess that makes sense, but is it necessary? Not really. I mean, you can do that through your phone as well.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Exactly. I mean, like,
I'm just trying to make life way too much easier.
And
it's not for me though.
You know, how technology, comes to our life is that they do it like gradually, so you didn't realize it until you get really hooked on it, right? So I mean, right. As simple as like let's say Netflix, right? Or YouTube, in more general, you know, when YouTube mm-hmm. started like existing, it was basically just like videos, channels that you subscribe, right? And then whatever they upload, right, it appear on your homepage. And then they started moving into trending, right? And then and now it's all about recommendation, like things that you might like. So so they basically like collect data, right? From our preference, the things that we watch, you know, how often we watch it. And then they're getting more accurate by the day, right? Because now I don't rely on my subscription on trending. Basically, anything on the homepage, I will definitely watch it because they know me so well that You know, whatever
I videos never thought of it, but you're right.
Yeah, right? Because yeah. I remember like when I started watching YouTube, I don't know, millennials ago, right? And it was like, I don't know, 2010, I guess, 11. And okay, I started like subscribing to channels, right? Like, I don't know if you remember like things like Smosh or when you're Wong Fu Production, for example. These Wong are like Fu, old, yeah, old YouTube guys, right? And you know, I would go on YouTube and I'll see them. They would have uploaded a new video and I would watch it. That will appear in my homepage. But now, I rarely see Wong Fu anymore, even though I subscribe to them. But instead, I'll be getting all these like new videos from different channels that I don't subscribe. But because the genre or the type of videos are similar to what I've watched previously, they just put it out there, and they know that I will click because I was like, oh, something similar. I might check this out.
I don't know if you've experienced this, but I feel like even beyond that, our phones are already listening to us. You know, this is not really like a conspiracy theory. Like, I've seen it personally. My friends have encountered this as well. Like, you know, one day we're just talking about, out of nowhere, like we're talking about, for example, let's say, what do you call it? Gojek, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm introducing to my friend Gojek. I've never said the word Gojek ever to him. And he never knew what it was, but I'm just talking about Gojek and I'm talking about what it is, you know? And then the next thing I know, I'm on my Instagram or I'm on Facebook and I'm seeing these ads for, you know, like stuff related to Gojek, or it might be even Gojek itself. And it's kind of scary how that works.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I've heard,
I don't know if you've experienced that.
Some people experiencing that, like, just as simple as like, for example, they might be talking about like, hey, maybe I might get something later today. Like, and whatever that product is, it'll just appear on everywhere in your recommendation, right?
Yeah. It's next level smart search.
Yeah. Yeah. this is the kind of thing that like, I don't know, like it's a big thing in, you know, you want to say like the West, right? In Europe or in the US, like privacy laws, right? Like how much information can like the government can get from us, right? So that's why you guys have all that, I don't know, like Senate hearing, like with Facebook and Google.
Yeah.
You know, that's
That was,
you know,
big.
Mark Zuckerberg, the lizard guy, came to Congress and start drinking water like a robot. Like, I really
that was funny. I remember that.
It was really weird. Like, why do you drink like that? I was like, just drink like a normal human being, please.
I remember that.
Yeah, but here in Asia, like especially in like China, like people don't really care. Like, I know like it's a different set of government, like how they run it, but even from the people itself, right? Like Chinese users, they don't really care about privacy laws. You know, they just care about like, oh, it's a new technology, let me up into it right away. So that's why they're really hooked into like, you know, whatever new app or new service that's been introduced there in that country, right? And it kind of a blessing in disguise, if you want to call it, because, you know, when Corona happened and, you know, it spread everywhere around China, the fact that the government had a lot of data on them helped kind of quickly control the disease, right? And you know, so that gives you two different perspectives, because like before Corona, you know, all I can think of is like, you know, privacy laws, you know I have rights and everything. But now because of like the pandemic and COVID, now you start thinking like, yeah, sure, maybe like in these cases, sure, have my data, you know, if having my data means that I would know which people around me have COVID, or, you know, which area should I avoid, then sure, why not? You know, I mean, like, that happened in South Korea, right? Because the government have all, like, the people's data, and they can, like, basically trace anywhere, like, if you have, like, a COVID patient, and this person go to the subway, then go to the store time, and then it alerts everyone who were in that vicinity at that same time. So, for example, like, he would take the train at 9 a.m. So whoever in that train at 9 a.m. would be getting notifications. How did you know that? Because of phone data. Because, you know, you would have your phone on at 9 a.m. And they, either they post it or at least they, the cellular data tag it as they're in the train, right? And that's, and then that helps South Korea a lot, obviously, because, you know, they handle the case as well. Yeah, so that gives like a two different conundrum where like, should we give?
Because like here, the way it worked, it's like, if you, let's say you went to go get tested and you're positive, you know, you would have to tell, like the hospital or whatever, you know, who you were around.
Yeah.
You know, all the phone numbers and whatnot, and just, and basically the hospital will shoot them a message, a text message, telling them like, hey, someone you were around was tested positive for coronavirus and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, I'm for that kind of system. I don't mind it. Like, I have nothing to hide.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, back, that's always the argument, right? When government trying to get your data, so it's like, hey, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry, right? But then again, you never know, because, you know, Big Brother and all that.
Thank you udah dengerin podcast Bosan di Jalan bareng gue, Ram. Gue mau ngucapin terima kasih sama Craving 4 yang udah support gue di podcast ini. Craving 4 is the taste you'll never forget, the sin you'll never regret. Mereka ini punya koleksi dessert box beragam yang pastinya bakal bikin kamu ketagihan. Ada coklat mousse cake, tiramisu, dan personal favorite gue nih, cinnamon rolls. Jadi, buruan aja cek Instagram mereka di @craving4.id. Sekali lagi di @craving4.id. DM mereka untuk pepesanan. Craving 4, the taste you'll never forget, the scent you'll never regret.